This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Omicron advances. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, December 6th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
U.S. health officials say the new strain of the coronavirus has now been found in 16 states, although the Delta variant remains dominant.
Authorities in Michigan plan to question an artist tied to a studio where the parents of an accused school shooter were found during a manhunt.
Longtime Senator and Republican fixture Bob Dole has died at 98. We'll have a look back on his life of service.
And how stores are ramping up security after recent flash mob robberies.
You know, in some cases, they're locking up more goods, which they acknowledge is, you know, a customer pain point. No one likes that when you have to go find someone to open up a case, right? So Best Buy has talked about doing some things to make it a little bit more customer friendly, like allowing you to scan the item with a QR code and then just get it and walk out, as opposed to have to kind of call someone over.
Sarah Nassauer at the Wall Street Journal on new security measures from the likes of Best Buy, Home Depot, and other large retailers. The Omicron variant of the coronavirus has spread to about one-third of U.S. states, but the Delta version remains the majority of COVID-19 infections as cases rise nationwide. At least 16 U.S. states have reported Omicron cases. Many of them were among fully vaccinated individuals with mild symptoms. U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy on Fox News Sunday.
So to the question of whether the increased spread is being driven by greater transmissibility or whether it's being driven by a different sensitivity to our vaccine protections or protection from prior infection, the exact mix there of contributors is not known.
As U.S. Omicron cases emerge, COVID vaccine makers aim to quickly tweak their shots, and U.S. regulators have vowed speedy reviews, but that could still take months. Meanwhile, new data from Johns Hopkins University show that for the first time in 2 months, the U.S. is averaging more than 100,000 new COVID cases a day. COVID deaths are also rising. In a bizarre twist to last week's deadly school shooting in Michigan, detectives plan to interview an artist connected to the Detroit studio where the parents of the accused 15-year-old were found following a manhunt. Authorities want to know what role the man had in the disappearance of James and Jennifer Crumbly. Ethan Crumbly, a 10th grader, was taken into custody last Tuesday following the rampage at Oxford High School that left 4 students dead and 7 others wounded. He's being held without bail and is charged as an adult. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard said the parents are in the same facility.
They are not speaking to us, any of them, and they are all in my jail, all segregated in separate cells and constantly monitored.
He was on ABC's Good Morning America. They're accused of purchasing the handgun for their son as an early Christmas present and then ignoring warning signs that he was planning a mass shooting. They pleaded not guilty to 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter on Saturday. Former Kansas Congressman and Senator Bob Dole has died. He was also a decorated World War II vet and a fixture in Republican politics for more than 50 years. He ran for president 3 times. He won the GOP nomination in 1996, but lost when President Clinton won re-election. A year later, Mr. Clinton would honor him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Mr. Dole also helped create the World War II Memorial on the National Mall.
Our final reunion cannot long be delayed. Yet if we gather in the twilight, it is brightened by the knowledge that we have kept faith with our comrades from a distant youth.
He also adopted the cause of Freedom Honor Flights, organized trips to Washington for World War II vets so they could visit the memorial built in their honor. While fighting in Italy in World War II, Mr. Dole permanently lost the use of his right arm when he was hit with shrapnel and nearly died. 10 months ago, he announced he had lung cancer. Mr. Dole passed away yesterday in his sleep at the age of 98. Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers powered by Intel Core processors for your small business. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and top-brand electronics with savings up to 45% and all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. President Biden has staked his presidency on defeating the pandemic, but nearly a year into his term, the administration is crashing into the limits of its power to end the nation's fight against COVID. But Adam Kankren, reporter at Politico, says in the few places where the administration could go further, it seems unwilling to do so, at least as of now. Adam, where are we on this?
Really, where we are at this point is 90,000 cases, new cases a day, 1,000 COVID deaths a day, and really not a ton of great options for making a lot of quick progress in bringing those down. You know, the core issue at this point is getting people who are very skeptical of the vaccines vaccinated. And while this new Biden COVID plan, and we can get into depth on some of the policies, is a step in the right direction, it strengthens some of the response, it does some good things, none of it really kind of gets at that core issue of how do we get more holdouts to get their initial shots. And until they do that, it's kind of hard to see an end toward the pandemic or to a place where we can really get cases and hospitalizations and deaths down to a more manageable level.
Have we plateaued? He was talking about we've plateaued in terms of we're at roughly the highest percentage of people getting vaccinated that we're going to get. Is that what I understood?
Well, and yes, and that's kind of really the difficulty is, look, we're at, in terms of full vaccination, about 60%. And while that's great, it's not nearly enough, you know, in health experts' opinion, in administration's officials' opinion, to really suppress the virus across the country, right? There are still big pockets of this country that remain unvaccinated. And as long as you have that, the virus is going to continue to circulate. And that raises the risk for new variants that are potentially more severe or more contagious. You know, we saw this example last week with the rise of Omicron, and we're finding now cases there. And we don't know exactly what that is going to portend for the winter. So until we're getting that other 40% to a point where they are also fully protected, it becomes really, really difficult to use all the other tools in an effective way that will kind of help rein in the virus.
What tool will President Biden not use?
Well, the one that has been talked about, I think, the most is requiring vaccination, proof of vaccination, to travel, basically, to get on an airplane domestically. To travel by train or bus. And that has been the one step that they've been unwilling to take for a couple of reasons. There's one, massively disruptive to people's lives, right? Especially if you think, you know, we're right around the holidays. 2 weeks out from now would be just before Christmas. If you instituted something like that now, suddenly travel plans all around the country would have to be canceled. You'd have just, you know, massive upheaval. The other argument that I've heard from the administration is that they have these other vaccine mandates, right? Requirements that large businesses get their workers vaccinated, that healthcare workers get vaccinated, and they feel like combined those two will have a bigger effect. The problem is they're held up in the courts for the foreseeable future.
We're speaking with Adam Kankren, healthcare reporter at Politico. His story is called Biden Takes the Fight to Omicron, but the toolkit is growing bare. So what about these things now, these tools in the toolkit as winter and for many people going indoors and Omicron all collide?
Yeah, well, look, there are things that can make a difference around the margins, right? And that's what this administration is really focused on now, is making sure those who are protected, you know, those who have gotten their initial round of vaccinations are getting their booster shots, are really kind of insulating themselves against the virus as well as possible, right? So we're seeing increased testing, more stringent restrictions around international travel, a greater and wider availability of booster shots and vaccines for children. So those things are all steps in the right direction. Those things are all positive and will make somewhat of a difference. It's just not going to be the thing where, you know, 3 or 4 months from now, we can say, oh, wow, you know, that was a tough pandemic, but we're finally out of it. This is a path toward a more, you know, toward a situation where more of we're living with this virus rather than defeating it.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Kankren, reporter at Politico. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Beginning today, all air passengers 2 years and older, regardless of vaccination status or citizenship, will have to show a negative COVID test taken no more than 1 day before travel to the U.S. The change comes as the U.S. averages more than 100,000 new COVID cases each day for the first time in 2 months, some tied to the new Omicron variant. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky on ABC.
The more mutations a single variant has, the more immunity you really need to have in order to combat that variant, which is why right now we're really pushing to get more people vaccinated and more people boosted to really boost that immunity in every single individual.
Number two.
A Norwegian cruise line ship with at least 10 passengers and crew members infected with COVID has docked in New Orleans, where health officials are trying to disembark people without worsening the spread. The ship, which left New Orleans on November 28th and returned yesterday, had made stops in Belize, Honduras, and Mexico. The cruise line says all the identified cases involve people without symptoms of the illness.
Number three.
Bob Dole, a former U.S. senator and Republican presidential candidate, died yesterday at the age of 98. Dole served as a senator for Kansas for nearly 30 years. In 1996, he clinched the GOP nomination for the presidency and lost to incumbent Bill Clinton. Dole's closing statement in a 1996 presidential debate.
I've had my anxious moments in my life. I've learned to feed myself and to walk and to dress. I'm standing here as proof that in America, the possibilities are unlimited.
Dole served in the Army during World War II, during which he was seriously injured. He became temporarily paralyzed from the neck down and spent years rehabbing. Dole regained much of his movement, but his arms never fully recovered. The Biden administration is expected this week to announce a diplomatic boycott of the 2022 Winter Games in Beijing. That would mean no U.S. government officials would attend the games, but U.S. athletes would still be allowed to compete. The college football playoff is set, and it's historic. Cincinnati will play Alabama, and Michigan will face Georgia on New Year's Eve. Cincinnati becomes the first team to break through the CFP's glass ceiling and make college football's Final Four from a non-Power Five conference. Their reward will be a matchup against the Crimson Tide, who are in the playoff for the seventh time in its eight-year history.
And looked awfully good.
Yes,
on
they
Saturday.
Did. They sure did.
Man. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, a new state of mind for your finances. If you've been back at the office lately, have you noticed how work attire has changed? The days of stuffy, uncomfortable clothes is gone, thankfully. And for the new wardrobe, Cuts Clothing is on the cutting edge of casual. They've elevated the classic t-shirt to something that fits the workday, the nightlife, and you perfectly. I know firsthand, I love my Cuts shirts. They're flexible, willing to move with me, and they're tough. Perfect for when I'm in the office or a night out. Get them for yourself now, and you'll not only look good at this year's holiday events, you'll look good and stay comfortable. There's something for everyone on my list and yours, not just t-shirts. There's polos, bomber jackets, joggers, and more. Get them all from Cuts Clothing now. And don't just save time, save money too. Cuts has your holiday shopping covered with a ton of new products and special site-exclusive offers every day in December. Plus, get 15% off site-wide at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon to get 15% off. Plus, can't miss daily deals. cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Greed and fear are two states of mind sometimes associated with making money, investment decisions, and wealth-building strategies. This holiday season, try gratitude instead. Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch, says there's a link between gratitude and greater account balances. Andy, explain.
It's kind of thinking about your finances, like so many other parts of your life, from a glass half full part view instead of a glass half empty, you know, being thankful for what you have. And in talking to advisors on, you know, how they think that helps people's financial well-being, you know, in maybe even potentially, you know, the size of their portfolio. So the word I heard a lot was abundance in scarcity. So okay. if you are, you know, kind of viewing your finances from a grateful point of view, you're kind of seeing the abundance of what you do have, and seeing it from that mind versus like, oh, I still need more, I still need more, I still need more. And for one thing, you know, it may help you with, you know, avoid those impulse buys to get more stuff. And be able to have you know, more saved, which we all know, which we all would love to have.
Yeah.
So that's one example.
I thought it was interesting. Somebody said you need to know when enough is enough. When do you arrive at that point?
Right. Exactly. It's funny because we have all these things out there, the retirement calculators and, you know, return on investment calculators, and, you know, how much am I going to get? So in a certain way, it's a numerical issue, like when is enough for me to get what I need? But it's also a psychological issue of when do I have enough? And if I have enough, in my portfolio, do I really need to do all this money in, you know, these risky stocks or these options or whatever I'm doing? So it can kind of seep into that mindset too of, you know, again, when is enough and when do you need to keep chasing the returns?
We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. His story is called Three Ways of Practicing Gratitude Can Help Your Financial Well-Being This Holiday Season. All right, so you mentioned the opposite of gratitude, which is greed. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we also, you know, the two states of mind that we often hear about when it comes to money making is fear and greed, and, you know, being greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy, that sort of idea. And again, it gets to that idea of enough being enough. If you are greedy and you need more and more and more, and you have this sort of scarcity mindset, and let me be clear. I mean, you know, people. There's definitely people out there who have that scarcity mindset for a very good reason. You know, they're pinched in this time of inflation, and there, you know, so many things going on. So I'm not trying to say that, you know, if you feel scarce, you're being greedy,
yeah.
But you know, there can come a point when you do have enough, but you still feel that that scarcity and maybe that greed to hoard on to more and more and more.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better, Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price, so they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal. To get this special offer for the starter set, HARRYS, harrys.com/deal. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Indeed's Instant Match searches through millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates who fit your job description instantly. More at indeed.com/credit. Retailers and law enforcement around the country are ramping up security to combat a wave of thefts by criminal groups during the busy holiday shopping season. Some of the most brazen crimes, sometimes known as flash mob robberies, have happened in recent weeks, as we've detailed on this show. More from Sarah Nassauer, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Sarah, what are retailers doing?
Well, they're concerned, but in some ways they're not surprised. These events we've seen over the last few weeks, which involve, you know, dozens of people basically running into a store, sort of creating chaos and overwhelming any security staff that might be there. And they're just in terms of sheer numbers, stealing things and running out. You know, they're getting larger, right? So the intensity of the issue is getting bigger. But retailers say organized retail crime, which they do distinguish from sort of common shoplifting, That just means, you know, someone is organizing a group to steal goods, often to resell online or other places. It's a bigger problem, and it's really ramped up during COVID, in large part because e-commerce sales overall are up. And so there's just more demand for, you know, underpriced goods online.
Jeez. How is this? I mean, I know it's away from your story somewhat, but I mean, how is this stuff generally organized?
Well, you know, it's a little unclear, but with text messages and WhatsApp and other forms of communication, people can, you know, gather fairly quickly.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see, though, exactly how the incidents that we've seen over the last few weeks, how they were organized and who might have been behind it.
All right. So explain what some of these large retailers, like you referenced in the headline, like Home Depot and Best Buy, what are they doing specifically now?
You know, in some cases, they're locking up more goods, which they acknowledge is, you know, a customer pain point. No one likes that when you have to go find someone to open up a case, right? So Best Buy has talked about doing some things to make it a little bit more customer friendly, like allowing you to scan the item with a QR code and pay and then just get it and walk out as opposed to have to kind of call someone over. They're changing, you know, entrances and exits to some extent. Home Depot's trying something where they use a device to make any kind of electronic product inoperable unless it's been checked out at a register, for example. So it would just be junk unless you check it out at a register. But, you know, a lot of the security folks that work for retailers do acknowledge this is a really hard problem to solve. You know, these are stores. It's not like they're locked facilities. They have multiple entrances and exits. They don't want their store workers to engage with people because they don't want them to get hurt, you know, and they don't want to bother customers by locking everything up. So it is a tricky problem to solve.
Does it ultimately reflect on consumer prices, right? I mean, if you're hiring a couple extra security guards, like you said, you're creating right, these things that kind of lock these items down, right? I mean, that gets passed on,
I presume. And, you know, like Best Buy called this out on their last earnings call that this was eating into some of their margins, you know, shrink, as it's called in the industry, which is product loss due to theft or even damage and other things. But shrink is increasing. That's a cost.
We're speaking with Sarah Nassauer, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Stores Like Home Depot and Best Buy Bolster Security After Flash Mob Robberies. Is it random how some of these retailers are picked, or is it retailers, stuff that's easy to grab?
Well, you know, there's some level of, you know, where is the weakest link, right? And let's go there. And there's also certain products that are in demand online. So there are product categories that tend to get stolen more often. For example, Home Depot sells a lot of power tools. Power tools are a big one. Expensive handbags. Electronics like Best Buy. So you do tend to see certain retailers, this becomes a bigger issue, and they tend to be the most vocal ones about the problem.
And in Florida, right, there's like a special task force now.
Yes, exactly. So law enforcement is, you know, responding to this, and we're seeing some, you know, it's happening pretty quickly because these events, some of them in California, were pretty dramatic. So you have, you know, district attorneys, other law enforcement saying they're going to create specific task forces to address this. They're just going to be, you know, there are more boots on the ground in terms of officers in shopping areas. And then you have the retail security folks really, you know, this is not new, but advocating for partnership with attorney generals and law enforcement officials to coordinate, because some of these groups are working across state lines, and you know, you can be one store in one town and know that something happened, but you might not really prevent that from happening again if you don't see the big picture.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Nassauer, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the mic drop.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, if you're going to pick out one person who might be most qualified to easily spot a prosthetic limb, it might be someone who administers COVID-19 shots into arms all day long. That makes you wonder why this guy thought that nobody would notice his fake appendage. A local nurse claims that a man in Italy who wanted proof of vaccination patient but didn't want to get the shot attempted to trick medical workers using a fake arm. The nurse says she noticed something was amiss pretty quickly, namely the cold and gummy texture of the arm and that the skin color was a little too light. She said that at first she thought he had an actual prosthetic arm and he simply accidentally offered her up the wrong one, but that was not the case. The man was wearing a covering on his torso with two rubber foam arms attached, and later admitted that his goal was to get the COVID vaccine certificate without actually getting jabbed.
Okay. I normally might say A for effort. I'm not sure in this one, though.
No. Well, again, this woman, she looks at arms all day long, yeah. Right? You're putting shot. You know exactly what it looks like. You know exactly what they feel like when you put the needle in. Like, right? It probably has some sort of different give when you put the needle in. So you're going to spot it in about 10 seconds.
I liked how she said it was like the cold and gummy texture of the arm, which for many nurses might lead them to say, sir, you're either dying right now or you have a fake arm.
Right. But I like that she said, you know, it's an honest mistake. He just gave me the wrong arm. He just gave me the prosthetic arm instead of the real arm, gave him the benefit of the doubt, which was nice.
The caring approach of a nurse initially, and then it was like, buddy, no, it's a no.
Yeah, sorry, bud. We're busy here, okay? Yeah. And you've heard the old sayings, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and you can't see the forest for the trees. We might have to add a new one to the list. Don't burn down the house to smoke out the snakes. This after a Maryland home was accidentally burned to the ground by an owner trying to get rid of a snake infestation using smoke. In the process, the homeowner caught the house on fire, causing about $1 million in damage. A fire spokesman said on Twitter that about 75 firefighters were called to put the blaze out that started in the basement. Now, thankfully, no one was hurt, but the health status of the snakes is, as of yet, undetermined.
Wow.
We don't know what happened to the snakes
at
this point. But this is not the first time, I don't think, we've done a story like this. Maybe not snakes, but trying to get critters out of your house by using fire is never a good idea.
I do like the possible adaptation of that phrase, though.
Don't
burn the house to smoke out the snakes.
Right, there you go.
That is something.
I think we should get that going on Twitter today. Let's see what we can do about that.
By the way, if he caused about $1 million in damage, seems to me it's a fairly expensive house.
I was going
to
say, he must have a nice house, right?
$175 to call a snake removal expert to observe.
Right.
You know, maybe this was just his level of frustration at this point.
Not the best allocation of funds.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Isn't fine print annoying? Every big wireless provider has it. That's where they always hide the catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? Turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. No retail stores means no crazy overhead costs that sneak onto your bill as mystery fees. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and keep your same number with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile's 7-day money-back guarantee has you covered. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, visit mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Are chicken tenders the next casualty of supply chain generated shortages? NBC News says chicken tenders require more processing and packaging to sell, making them harder to find and more costly. The price of chicken breast tenders is up to $3.98 a pound, up from $3.44 at the same time last year. The reasons behind the meat shortage vary. The Biden administration cited illegal price fixing. Meat manufacturers cite extreme weather, labor shortages, and high demand. The National Chicken Council denies there's even a shortage, just saying supply is tight. However, many fast food chains have taken a step back on chicken tenders. McDonald's announced on Friday it's taking chicken tenders off the menu for now because of supply issues. KFC stopped advertising chicken tenders to tamper consumer demand. Meanwhile, plant-based alternatives have boomed during the pandemic as the prices of meat have gone up. Beyond Meat launched Beyond Chicken Tenders in July to dozens of restaurants nationwide. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
At least 16 states have detected the Omicron coronavirus variant, and that number is expected to rise. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky spoke with ABC.
We're really hopeful that our vaccines will work in a way that even if they don't prevent disease entirely, prevent infection entirely, that they can work to prevent severe disease and keep people out of the hospital.
The variant has several mutations to the spike protein that allows the virus to enter the body, and some of those mutations could lead to increased antibody resistance and transmissibility. But health officials say the Delta variant is still the dominant variant.
Number two.
Michigan authorities are moving forward with a broad investigation into last week's school shooting, including looking into whether the suspect's parents had an accomplice and what action school officials took after they were warned about the teenager's allegedly disturbing behavior. The parents, James and Jennifer Crumbly, have pleaded not guilty to four counts each of involuntary manslaughter, charges that allege they indirectly contributed to the deaths of four teens at Oxford High School. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard on ABC.
There were discussions that happened with the shooter the day before and the day of that certainly we wish we were brought into the loop. We have protocols that would have been triggered.
Authorities say the parents brought the suspect a gun used in the shooting.
Number three.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who drew Donald Trump's wrath for refusing to act on his false allegations of a stolen election, is likely to face a prominent challenger for the 2022 Republican primary for governor, former Senator David Perdue. A website launched for a Perdue governor's campaign proclaims him a bold conservative to unite Georgia and invites people to join the team to stop Stacey Abrams, a likely Democratic nominee. Perdue lost his Senate seat to Democrat John Ossoff in a runoff in January. The 2021 season has been dreadful for the Detroit Lions as they entered Week 13 as the only winless team in the NFL. So you really can't blame play-by-play announcer Dan Miller for sounding like this at the end of yesterday's game on WXYT Radio.
Goff's got it. Back. Looks. Throws. And
yes!
Caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! They did it! Amon-Ra St. Brown in the receiving end! Oh, they're rushing the field! Done it!
After nearly giving the game away on a late strip sack turnover, the Lions eked out a 29-27 win over the Vikings they hadn't won since December 6th of last year.
Party in Detroit. Holy cow. Thank you, Jen. Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers powered by Intel Core processors for your small business. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and top-brand electronics with savings up to 45% and all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Glad you're with us. Gladys Hankerson was at her home in Florida about 20 years ago when she called her sister in Maryland. Her sister had a 410 area code, but Ms. Hankerson, then 60, hit 401 instead. She reached Mike Moffitt, a Rhode Island resident who at the time was in his mid-20s. He took the call. She repeatedly, though, called the wrong number that day. He kept answering, finding it funny. She eventually stopped, but when she did it again the following week, they just started talking and hit it off. And they kept periodically talking over the months and years. They talked about seeing each other in person at some point, but life always got in the way. This past Thanksgiving, though, when Mr. Moffitt and his family were in Florida visiting colleges for his oldest daughter, he decided to surprise Ms. Hankerson, who's now 80, at her home. He snapped a selfie of them and posted it on Facebook. In the post, he wrote, quote, "There are incredible people in this world that are a wrong number phone call away." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.